Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. These are Jesus' words at the end of today's gospel, and we know that he said this or something like this a number of times in the gospels. This principle of the reversal of fortunes, it's one of the basic dynamics in the spiritual life. Those who are first will be last. Those who are lofty will be brought down. Those who are lowly will be raised up. The poor will be made rich. Yesterday's solemnity, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, put an exclamation point on this principle. Mary, who was lowly, who was the lowliest handmaid of the Lord, is raised up to the highest place in heaven, assumed into glory. And she herself knew this principle, not that she knew she was going to be made Queen of Heaven, but remember what she said at the Visitation in the Magnificat. She said, this is how God works, and holy is his name, and glorious are his ways. He brings down the mighty from their thrones, and he lifts up the lowly. He fills the hungry with good things, and he sends the rich away empty-handed. This is, she wasn't thinking about herself. She was just saying, this is how God works. She wasn't saying, I'm going to make myself lowly so that I'll be rich. She wasn't thinking about herself at all. She was praising the ways of the Lord. And then she herself becomes an example of God raising up the lowly, or of the last being first. Today's scriptures teach the same lesson, but from the other side, not from the example of a lowly one being raised up, but the example of someone lofty being brought down. Very clear in today's first reading, Ezekiel gives a prophecy about what will happen to the prince of Tyre. Doesn't give the name of this prince. Perhaps that's deliberate. Sometimes in the scriptures, when the name is not given, it's to make it possible for us to apply it to everyone, including to ourselves. Anyway, the fate of the prince of Tyre is a terrible one because he's so arrogant. He has such a high view of himself, high and mighty, that he has to be brought down for his own good. And the height to which he raises himself is extreme. He thinks of himself as a god. He thinks that the achievements that he's resting on are his own fruit of his own efforts. He made himself rich, he made himself powerful, so he is a god. And the prophecy is, well, you're not a god, you're a man. Not only are you a man, but you are a vulnerable man, and you're going to be brought down and killed by foreigners, no less. You're going to be reduced to absolutely nothing. Exactly what Jesus says, the first will be last. The prince of Tyre, who in his own mind is the first, has to be brought down, humbled to the lowest for his own sake. Now, it might seem that this is an extreme case, because how many people walk around saying, I'm a god? I think what's important for us to recognize here is this tendency of human nature to keep grasping more and more. People who don't have anything don't tend to think that highly of themselves, but people who have something think that they should have more. And you see this in the lives of the rich, especially the very rich. You read about this, these CEOs or these multi-billionaires, they keep trying to make more. And average people say, well, why do they do that? They have more than they could possibly spend for 10 lifetimes, more than their children and their grandchildren could possibly need, and yet they have this insatiable desire to get more. Because if our security is based on money or possessions, we never have enough. That's how it feels. We never have enough. See, the same thing when it comes to power. When people have no power, they don't think that they have the capability of grasping more. But people who have some power tend to want more power. Rise up and take control of more. This is what happens with tyrants. Tyrants, dictators. You say, well, why? They were already powerful. They're already at the top of the heap of their country. Why do they have to take over another country? Why do they have to take over more companies? Why do they have to dismiss all their leaders and take charge of everything? It's that insatiable desire for more. No one who is putting his security in power thinks he has enough power. He always thinks he needs more. Democracy is supposed to prevent this from happening because people who have power are elected, and when people have too much power, the voters are supposed to say, wait a minute, let's bring this one down. Doesn't always work, but that's why democracy is supposed to have that safeguard. When it comes to kings who are in power for life, you often see this dynamic. Well, once a person is in power for life, they really strive for more and more. Perhaps I have this in mind because of today's saints. I mentioned that the saint honored in the Philippines here, San Roque, is not the only saint we celebrate on August 16th. But San Roque himself, remember, came from a noble family. He was son of a governor. He didn't strive for more. He dedicated himself to serve others. And he's a very interesting case because his gift was healing, but he himself was sick. He served victims of the plague. He caught the plague. But even in his sickness, he had the gift of healing others. So it's an example of what Jesus says here. Many who are first will be last. Well, he was first in the sense he had a lofty birth, but since he didn't cling to that status, but put himself at the service of others, well, God could use him and could raise him up. So he became last, and now he's a saint in heaven. The other saint who is honored on this day, not in the Philippines, but in the other parts of the world, Saint Stephen of Hungary, is an even better example of someone who reverses the trend. He was the king. In fact, he was the brother-in-law of the emperor. I mean, he really had the top, he was at the top of the political ladder, which typically makes people corrupt and self-centered, but he had a genuine conversion. He had a genuine desire to further the kingdom of God, and he used his earthly power for the sake of the kingdom. That's why now we honor him as a saint. Was he rich? Yes, he was rich. He was very rich, and he was rich until the day he died. He didn't give away all his money. He remained the king, but he didn't cling to his money or his power. He used it for the reasons for which God entrusted it to him. And that's why we honor him as a saint. Well, Jesus speaks about this principle about the problem of the rich. He says, it's hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard. Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, a camel cannot pass through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. So he's saying, if you're rich, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why it's so disturbing to the disciples. If the rich can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus says, he says it straight, for men, this is impossible. It's impossible. Don't think that you can buy your way in. Don't think that you can win your way in or trick your way in. Or you can get into the kingdom of heaven by any means that is in your power. That's not how it works. For men, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. And this is why the rich cannot enter, because they make themselves God. They don't rely on the power of God. They rely on their money. They rely on their power. That's the danger of riches. That's why I like to focus on St. Stephen again, St. Stephen of Hungary, because he was rich. So according to the principle of Jesus, he shouldn't enter the kingdom, but we honor him as a saint. How did it happen? Because he didn't think of himself as rich. He didn't think of his riches as something that were for his own benefit or were his own accomplishment. In that sense, he was poor. Even though he was the king, he was poor in spirit. And because he was poor in spirit, he was able to enter the kingdom of God. He passed through the eye of the needle because he let go of his riches instead of clinging to them. As I say, the disciples are shocked by this, astonished by it. Who can be saved? And when Jesus says, well, this is impossible for you, don't even try. Don't even think that you are going to have enough or do enough good things to get into the kingdom. And then Peter speaks up, we have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? I love Peter because he always says what probably all the rest of them were thinking. Well, you know, here we are. We gave up everything. Now we don't have anything. And Jesus says something extraordinary. Everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. So those who divest themselves, those who detach themselves, those who give, who put what they have at the service of God and of others, they're the ones who are the richest of all. The 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. These lowly fishermen who gave up the little that they had end up becoming more powerful than the most powerful earthly ruler. Or you might as well go to the extreme example, go back to yesterday's feast day. Mary, who was a poor, lowly, unknown, obscure, humble virgin, she's the one who becomes queen of heaven and earth. She's the one who reigns over angels and men. That's how this works. That's how it works. The first will be last. First in earthly terms, first in money, first in power. They will not be the ones who reign. But the last will be first. So be last. Be the last. Be a servant. Be humble. Don't cling. Don't grasp. Don't be ambitious for worldly honors. That doesn't get you anywhere in the spiritual life. Be the last, and let the Lord make you the first.